Skip to read Ephesians chapter 1, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, to condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, for those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, good evening, everyone. Always thankful for the opportunities that I have. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you've come our way. We're very glad that you have had safe travel to be with us this evening. The title of the lesson this evening is The Battle, The Unseen Battle. The Unseen Battle. And I believe that there's an unseen battle that rages in each and every one of us, one that we have to fight each and every day. And if we don't fight it well, what happens is we can lose our soul. And the unseen battle that I'm talking about is the battle that goes on in our mind and in ourselves. Have you forgotten about that battle? You know, you start to look at our society and all the things that happen around our society. So many things are directed towards our mind, towards our intellect, trying to convince us one way or another. I mean, you think of advertisements. How many millions, billions of dollars they spend to try to influence individuals? You know, we've got an election coming up in 2020, and we'll all be excited to see those ads all over our TV once again. What are they trying to do? Influence you. Trying to sway your mind one way or another. And I think the Bible really understands that in many cases it just boils down to the mind. And the Bible emphasizes that idea that you have to be very diligent and very watchful of what's coming into your mind and what you're focusing your mind upon, because your mind, that's where all your actions will go. I mean, when you really think of many, the heart of religious debates and philosophical debates, it all comes down to the mind. Have we forgotten the battle of the mind? The battle for your mind, the battle for your grandchildren's mind, the battle for the minds of all the people around us. See, Satan, he's participating in the battle. Are we participating in the battle as well? Are we giving it up willfully? You know, the battle of the mind, it takes place at all places at all times. You know, the battle of the mind is going on at home. The battle of the mind is going on in schools. The battle of the mind is going on in the church. The mind is constantly at war, a daily battle each and every day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I think Paul is writing, he's trying to convince people, he's like, the war that you're in is spiritual in nature. And spiritual in nature, where it's going to affect your mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it says, so the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, Paul understood this battle that we're in. It says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we understand how important our thoughts are, our intellect, our mind, in relation to our service to God. And if you don't think that this war doesn't get messy from time to time, I mean, all you have to do is look through the examples of the Bible. All you have to do is look out at our society. Whenever an idea is put out there on Facebook or an idea is put out there into the world anywhere, what happens? You start to see the clash. Now, it's not always a physical clash. And I think our country has tried to put a lot of safe havens so that we avoid the physical clash and free ideas can be spread. But we see that clash happening each and every day in our society. We see the clash that happens with individuals in the New Testament. We see what happens when Paul travels from place to place. And he presents his arguments. He presents his ideas. And what happens? Many times they try to refute. And when they can't refute, what do? Many times they physically attack Paul. You know, I think of Stephen. Stephen gives this speech, and he's trying to convince these individuals, and what happens to Stephen? Stephen is stoned. The warfare that we're in is in relation to arguments. It's a spiritual war in relation to the mind, to try to sway minds to the cause of Christ. Have we forgot about that battle? Have we forgot about the battle to keep our minds from sin? Have we forgot about that unseen battle that's going on in our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, and our children, and the people all around us? Have we forgotten about the battle that wages on each and every day? I think the Bible emphasizes that this is a battleground of a Christian. One that a Christian should be considering, one that a Christian should be thinking about, because from the mind really comes all things. You know, I think we lose this battle many times. I think many Christians lose this battle many times. But you think about sin in general, murder, adultery, all these things, where do they all originate? I think they all originate in the mind first. And I think many times people will rehearse these things over and over again. They'll rehearse their adultery over and over again before it leads up to the point where it actually manifests itself in the physical plane. We have all kinds of Christians fighting day in and day out this battle of the mind. All these things that sin creeps in, and it's rehearsed again and again and again to keep the sin out. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Will we keep our minds pure? Will we fight the battle that's unseen each and every day? In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, it says, and Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. With all our being, it's a foundation, a foundational part of Christianity. The mind is a battleground. It's a part of us, it's the inward part of us that has to conquer, that has to fight. Our love of God has to be through every part of our being. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I think it's showing us that the battleground is a battleground of the mind. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says renewing of your mind. Yes, our bodies are a living sacrifice, but our bodies won't be too much good if our mind is not renewed in the way that it should be in relation to service to God. Is our mind where it should be? In our reading in Romans chapter 8, in verse 6, it says, to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How's your mind going? How's the battle going on that no one can see? How's the battle going on in your mind? I always found the mind to be one of those most interesting things, you know, particularly as a teacher. You look out, at the audience and you start to think, you know, what is going on in their head? You know, are they engaged? Are they disengaged? Have they went off to Walmart? Are they wondering about what they're going to eat this evening? What are they thinking about? Do our minds drift to places they shouldn't drift? Do they go to places that they shouldn't go? See, people try to convince us that our mind cannot be changed. Sometimes we hear phrases like, you're born that way. There's no changes that can be made. Your mind cannot be influenced. Your mind cannot be swayed. You're the way you are. You'll never change. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that our mindset can be changed from the fleshly, worldly, sinful things to the things that God wants to direct our mind towards. He teaches us that we can change, that we can move from a mindset on the flesh to a mindset focused on those things that are spiritual in nature. But the world doesn't want you to hear that. The world doesn't want to hear that you can change your mind. The world doesn't want to engage in discussion in relation to changing the mind. But the Bible is very clear, and it really punches these two ideas very hard. And idea number one is that the mindset that is set on the flesh needs to be eliminated. The mindset that's set on the flesh, worldly things and sin, needs to be eliminated. And the other part of that that the Bible really influences is that your mindset should change and should be replaced with a mindset focused on spiritual things and those things that are above. So let's first look at that idea. The mindset of the flesh needs to be eliminated. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it talks about the works of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revilers, and the like of which I have told you beforehand, just as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says these are works of the flesh. You know, and I think of this for a second. These are the works of the flesh. These are manifestations of what? People's mindset. And we start to look at these things, all of these activities, all these things that are works of the flesh, we can all see that all of these will start in the mind. All of these will originate in the mind. And eventually what happens is when we keep them in our mind and we foster them in our mind, we give place to them in our mind, what happens is eventually they'll manifest themselves in the physical plane of life. But God teaches us that the battleground is the battleground of the mind. In fact, when you look at the Sermon on the Mount and other places in Jesus' teachings, a lot of times he's saying, keep all of that stuff out of your mind, because as soon as you let it into your mind, what you're opening yourself up for is the physical manifestation of those things in the future. A fleshly mind leads to fleshly action. Are we focusing on the things of the world? Are we focusing on sin? Are we letting those things creep in? And see, this is a battle that's hard for us to see on occasion. We can see the manifestation eventually, but the problem is that sometimes diagnosing individuals, and as they're going through the plan of life, it's hard to see that they're really struggling with pornography. They're really struggling with it. They're really struggling with their mind and things in their mind. They're struggling with adulterous thoughts. They're struggling with this. Are we watching out for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we trying to diagnose? Are we trying to see where the fleshly mindset is sinking in? But a lot of it comes to us diagnosing ourselves. Are we letting those thoughts creep in when they shouldn't? In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, as it continues on, it says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The Bible sends a very clear message. When you become a Christian, as you serve God, your mindset changes. You're eliminating those things of the flesh, trying to pursue those things that are more spiritual. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, you were dead in your trespasses of sin. And it continues on in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, among whom also you once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. The Bible was right, and we see these passages all in relation to this fleshly, worldly, sinful mindset. It has to be eradicated and eliminated to the best of our ability. In Galatians chapter 6 and verses 8 and 9, it says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Where are we sowing? Where are we planting our thoughts? Where do our thoughts go? Where do we keep our thoughts on? In Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. No provision. No place. But we know that it does creep in throughout people's lives. And when fleshly thoughts creep in, it's just the first step. That's the first step that leads to individuals falling away, individuals falling through with sin and doing those sinful acts. When we let our mind be taken over by fleshly thoughts, by worldly thoughts, by sinful thoughts, the manifestation of sin in the world is not far behind. Our mind is constantly challenged. If we look back to the Garden of Eden, what happens with the serpent in the garden? A challenge of the mind. The serpent comes and starts to challenge Eve's thoughts. Starts to question Eve, ask Eve these questions, and basically tries to frame this problem with God's integrity. You know, God's got a problem with integrity. And you know, that same conversation goes on today. That same conversation goes on today. Well, God said to do this. No, God didn't really mean that. It's a battle of the mind. It's a battle of the mind going on within ourselves. It's a battle of the mind going on with our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. As it goes throughout the generations, is their mind is going to be challenged. By what? By fleshly things, by worldly things, by sin. What will our answer be? Will we let Satan challenge the mind and we not challenge Satan back? In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, I think we see his tools. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And we let those things creep in so easily. We see all individuals throughout this Bible have to fight this unseen battle. The unseen battle of the mind. Every individual has to fight it. We can look right next, right after Adam and Eve, we have Cain and Abel. And we have the situation where Cain kills Abel. And you know, you start to think on that, you start to reflect on that situation. You know, the first murder was in a family. You know, you think about that for a second. The first murder was in a family. Not only was it in a family, but what was it over? Worship. How are you going to worship God? I mean, you could say jealous. I mean, you could boil it down to a lot of different things. But when I think about that, and I look at that situation, when we let worldly things, sinful things, when we let these things in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 creep into our lives, everyone's going to have that challenge. Everyone's going to have that fight. The first murder in a family was over worship. You know, we think of these arguments, these spiritual arguments, we're like, ah, people shouldn't get too irritated with these, but actually that's what we see, is that when people are confronted with the truth, when they're confronted with things that aren't necessarily worldly, things that are not sinful, when they're confronted with the truth and not lies, sometimes their reaction is not what we would expect. It's a war. It's a battle. It's a battle that's being waged. And a lot of times I think we forget that in our society, and I wonder if we're losing because we're not handling it with the respect that we should. It's a battle out for your mind, for your children's mind, for your grandchildren's mind, for your great-grandchildren's mind. There's a battle at our hands. Are we fighting it the way we should? Now, the Bible teaches us to avoid this worldly, fleshly, sinful mindset, but it tells us to replace it with something. To replace it with a mind that's focused on spiritual things. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 32. It says, "And you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give a place to the devil. Let him whose soul fear no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of your God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." The message is clear. Worldly, fleshly, sinful mindset is out. And it's not just to create a void in our mind. We have to fill it with spiritual things. We have to start replacing it, like we would with a bad habit or anything else. Replacing the bad habit with something else that can replace those things that we don't want any longer to have a hold on us. In Romans chapter 7, verse 25, it says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God." What do you serve? Our mind is so important. The Bible sending a clear message, but will we listen to it? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It says, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears to you, also will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them." Very clear message of the Bible. I wonder how often it is missed by individuals around the world. There is an unseen battle going on, and it's a battle for your mind. Worldliness, fleshliness, sin, and the Bible saying all of that needs to be pushed out, and all the new spiritual mindset needs to be pushed in. Seeking those things that are above, seeking those things that are important. Are we doing those things in an appropriate way? The battle of the mind we can see all throughout the Bible. And sometimes it's just as simple as God says to do this, and we say, no, we don't want to do that. You know, we think of the Israelites, is they're right outside the promised land. The Israelites are outside the promised land. They've got out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They're at the edge of the promised land. And they send the 12 spies in. And what's God's message? His very clear message. He says, we're going to take the land. Does 12:5 come back? What does 10 say? 10 say, we can't take the land. Joshua and Caleb say, yes, we can take the land. You know, it is very clear. It's a battle of the mind. It happens with each and every individual. Are you going to go with what God wants, or are you going to go your own way? God says, take the land. 10 says, no, we don't want to take the land. What are you going to do? God says, do this, but you want to do that. Do we give up the battle of our mind too easily? Do we let Satan get a hold in spots that we didn't attend him on getting spots on? It happens little bits at a time, little pieces at a time. And before we know it, we're doing things that we never anticipated us doing because we lost the unseen battle. We lost the battle within ourselves that no one saw, that no one was trying to see sometimes. Are we looking out for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ as they're fighting this battle each and every day? Now this sounds like an intimidating battle. You know, this battle of taking all of the junk in my mind and getting it out. It sounds intimidating. How am I going to get all of this worldliness? How am I going to get all this sin? How am I going to get all of these things out of my mind? Well, God's going to help. Well, how is God going to help? He is going to instruct you, and He is going to give you a lifestyle that is going to be conducive to purging your mind, to getting those sinful, worldly thoughts out, and to pursue those things that are good, those things that are righteous. Well, what are you talking about, this lifestyle? Well, when you become a Christian, you're born a new creature, and you're supposed to be pursuing and growing and studying and doing all these things, but I don't know if you stop to consider the lifestyle that God has set up for a Christian to purge your mind of those worldly things, those sinful things, those things that we shouldn't be pursuing. First thing I'd like you to consider this evening that will help us in relation to this battle of our mind is worship. I don't think oftentimes we think about the great blessing we have in worship, worshiping God in spirit and truth, and thinking of the implications of worshiping God in the way that He asks us to worship Him. And we talk about the five acts of worship, but you start thinking about praying for a second. How is praying beneficial to the Christian? Besides just the fact of God intervening on our behalf, us being able to cast our cares upon Him, what I think praying does is it helps us focus our mind on what? Spiritual things. It helps us to focus on those things that are important, those things that are meaningful. When you're praying, you know what you're really doing? Is you're pushing a lot of the bad stuff out. Think about singing for a second. All the hymns that we sing, all these songs that we sing to edify one another, to teach one another, what's that doing? It's trying to push the bad out, the worldliness, the sin, a lot of those things out. A lot of times, we're singing Bible verses exactly as they appear in Scripture. God has set up a lifestyle for us where we do the things that God says. What it helps to do is it tries to push that old man farther and farther away. It tries to take our mind piece by piece and push out the worldliness, the sin, the problem. It slowly does that. When we pray, it helps. When we sing, that helps. When we're doing what we're doing this evening, opening God's Word, studying it, meditating on it, considering it, that's not worldly things. Those are things that are good. Those are things that we should be considering. Think of communion. Thinking of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now the world tries to creep in. I'm not saying the world tries to creep in, but what God has done is He has structured opportunities for us to push the world out, to keep the world out. But do we take advantage? Or do we lose the battle when it comes to worship? Do we lose the battle when people are praying? Are we listening to the words that they're saying? Are we reflecting on the words that are we saying? Are we taking that opportunity to take those spiritual ideas, put them into our own mind? Sometimes individuals here, I know when we pray, when we have brothers pray here, a lot of times they'll have Bible verses in their prayers. We hear them. We pray that we go and preach the gospel to the whole world. Sometimes we have Scripture within our prayers and we sing. The Scripture is there. The teachings of Christ are there. Communion is there. Giving, we think about the blessings that God has blessed us with. You know, it reminds me a lot of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. This battle that we're in is pushing the worldliness out. Well, it seems like an impossible task. How could we push out the sin, the world, all those things? Well, God has set up a lifestyle that can help us with that. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. When we pray, when we sing, when we preach, when we're taking a communion, when we're giving, a lot of that is directed right at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And when we're focused on these things, you know what we're doing? We're driving the worldliness out. We're driving the sin out. You know something else that God tells us to do as we're going throughout the Christian life? He tells us to grow. He tells us to study His Word. He tells us to meditate on His Word. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it tells us to diligently study His Word so we can rightly divide it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, "But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The Bible tells us that we should be studying the Word of God, and as we study the Word of God, what happens? Well, we start to discern between good and evil. And when we can decide what good and evil is, when we can discern what good and evil is, because we can't really determine what good and evil is, you know, it would really just be opinion if man was doing that. If I was just going off my opinion, well, I think this is good today, but I think this is good tomorrow. But God is the only one that can have that absolute morality. He is the only one that has the authority and really has the ability to lay down a judgment of what's right and wrong. And He has done that. He's laid it down in His inspired Word. And when we read that, we can start to discern what good or evil is. And when the thoughts start to come at us, we can start going, not something I should be thinking about. You know what? That's something I should reflect on and meditate on more. Can we discern between good and evil? Have we studied like the Bible has taught us to? I like what the psalmist said, Psalm 119, verse 11. It says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Your word I hide in my heart. I hide it within myself. Why? Because I've got a battle going on. We each and every one of us have a battle going on. The unseen battle of the mind, where things are coming at us each and every day from the media, from our family, from society, and we have to defend our mind. It's the battleground of a Christian. Are you defending it the way that you should? Your word I hide in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, we have to do a lot of studying. And Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." You think about that. Wait, my thoughts are not God's thoughts, my ways are not God's ways. Yeah, they're not. And that's why we have to study, and we have to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to be diligent in our study, because it's not a feeling that we're after. Well, how can I make sure that I'm doing the things that God wants me to do? Studying His Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We have to train ourselves. We have to train ourselves to discern between good and evil. We have to train ourselves to discern between the world and those things that are spiritual. Are we doing those things that we should? We certainly can't go off feelings. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." We have to make sure that we are validating those things that we are trying to do. God sets up this life, and He sets up all these little markers in our life. And as we're trying to grow as Christians, if we're hitting these markers as we're trying to do the things that God wants us to do, it helps us to drive out the world. It's a process. It's not easy. It's a battle that wages every day. And you know the thing about war is it's not one of those things where you can really take a break too much. Now, they try to, don't they, you know? They'll try to set up a watch, and they'll try to say, "Hey, we're going to try to get a couple hours of sleep." But is war really over? No, it's not. They try to get a little rest. They try to put a watch up and say, "Hey, watch out, we're going to try to get a few hours of sleep here." But the war is never over, particularly the spiritual war that we're in. Are we taking breaks at times that we shouldn't? Or are we pursuing righteousness? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Pursuing righteousness, pursuing what God wants us to pursue, when you pursue those things, guess what you're not pursuing by default? You're not pursuing the world. If you're pursuing righteousness and those things that God has laid out for us, you're not pursuing the things of the world. You know, you ask yourself that question, what would Jesus do? What would God do in this situation? But do we ask ourselves that question anymore, or have we lost the battle of our mind to the degree that we don't even ask that question anymore? We have a big decision in our life. Something's happening in our life. And we don't turn to God. We turn to ourselves. Or we turn to some other earthly standard instead of turning to the one where all answers and all spiritual blessings are. You know, another great blessing that I think many times we overlook in this battle of the mind is I think we forget about each other. You know, He talks about the assembly of ourselves. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, as is the manner of some." But it tells us that we should be encouraging one another, watching out for one another. See, when we look at this battle of the mind, it kind of seems intimidating at first. you're telling me that I'm supposed to take all this worldliness and get it out. It seems really intimidating. But when you start looking at the way that God has set up our lives to pursue righteousness, when we look at worship, when we look at assembling together with the saints, when we look at the first day of the week coming together and being with one another, when we look at this framework that our Lord has set up, He has set up a life where we are consistently looking at our mind, evaluating ourselves, and trying to kick the world out as best we can. How's your mind doing? We'd love to help you with it if you're struggling in any form or fashion. If you're struggling with sin or any of these things, we want to be there. We want to help. We want to assist. And sometimes, believe it or not, we're not going to be able to see it. We want to see it so we can help, but sometimes people are very good at hiding things that they're struggling with. The interesting thing about repentance is repentance at its core is what? Repentance is a change of mind. And that's what we're talking about this evening, our mind. That battle that wages on. But when we're talking about people obeying the gospel, repentance at its core is a change of mind. And how does that change of mind typically happen, or always happen? Happens with godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance." Wait, what produces repentance? It says godly sorrow. It says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." What are you going to pursue? Are you going to pursue the spiritual things that are going to lead to everlasting life, or are you going to pursue the world? And it says the world produces death. We're talking about that everlasting death. You know, you can't become a Christian without first changing your mind. What will you do with your mind this evening? There's a battle that wages on each and every day. We have to fight it to the best of our ability, and with the help of God and the help of our fellow Christians, it's a battle that we can certainly win each and every day. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you in any way that we can. Nothing would make us happier this evening to restore an individual or someone to become a Christian for the first time. The battle of the mind is not easy. We need each other. We need God if we're going to make it through and make it through our heavenly home. Perhaps you are subject to Lord's invitation. We ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.